Welcome to Synthaholics, your weekly shot of maybe not Star Trek. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is Aaron O'Brien and returning champion,
Holly Michelle.
Me!
Me! Hello, me. How are you doing today?
Hello, me. Meet the real me.
It's a Megadeth song.
I know.
You're referencing something I know. Oh my God. When does that ever happen?
I do know some heavy metal.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, Holly, you have relocated far, 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 far away from us in a galaxy.
You're in Star Wars land now, yeah. Somehow.
How is Star Wars land, Holly? Is a lot of lasers shooting by you?
It's probably being built still.
Lots of gunfire, at least.
Sounds unsafe.
Isn't Star Wars land still just like a dirt parking lot now? Like, they just like paved it up? They're still working on it.
Oh, you're talking about Disneyland?
Yeah. She's near there-ish.
Not really.
No.
That's kind of far away, but I mean...
It's closer than we are.
Yeah, she's closer.
Okay, I haven't gone yet, so I can't give you a first-hand account. Sorry.
Well, when you get there, you know, take lots of pictures.
Oh, definitely.
We got some major news.
Star Trek Las Vegas was this weekend. It's a 5-day. I think it's a 5-day con now. I think it starts like on Thursday.
Maybe.
It's insane. I haven't gone. I haven't been able to afford it. But one day. When we take off and become super popular, maybe we'll make it out there one day.
Possibly.
Go ahead, Aaron.
I have faith.
We got this great announcement. Alex Kurtzman came out. He was saying he got new plans, and who to better announce it is Sir Patrick Stewart. And he came out and said he was reprising the role of Jean-Luc Picard.
I'm so excited.
It is very exciting, but we don't know anything more about the project other than he's going to be Jean-Luc Picard, and he will not be Captain Jean-Luc Picard. So we don't know what that means. It could be anything.
Hopefully he'll be Tapestry Jean-Luc Picard.
Or it'll be like Garbage Man Jean-Luc Picard.
Or Vineyard Man Jean-Luc Picard.
Oh, yeah. Robert, get off my farm. My house burned down and my son died. I don't care.
Oh, you know what would be great? You know what would be great? Is if he's married to Beverly and he's just like, he's just her, like, her husband on her ship.
He's just an old crotchety husband. Beverly's trying to be like a great captain. He's just like, why don't you do this? He's like, shut up, Jean-Luc. I'm trying to run my own ship.
That would be great. A Star Trek, a backseat captaining.
That would be kind of cool, actually.
So, Alex Kurtzman, if you're listening to this, since you gave us no details other than you confirmed the rumor of Patrick Stewart reprising Jean-Luc Picard, to me, that wasn't super exciting because I feel like it's been a rumor so long.
Yeah.
And Patrick Stewart's been beating around the bush
long. He's been alluding, I mean, for at least 6 months.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's he's been alluding to it so long with no other anything about it. It was so anticlimactic to me. It's like, I don't really care. Like, it's just
still
like
cool.
Because people were texting me, did you hear? And I'm like, I guess, but they didn't say anything else.
Yeah.
I mean, like, where's the news? Because to me,
I think it's just part of the business, though, Dave. Like, I feel like, you know,
they just give you a little
leave the mystery and they can't count anything out too early, and whether it's been 10 years or not, I mean, it could have happened. They didn't want to shut it down and say it wasn't going to happen, but they couldn't say it was going to happen.
I mean, it's fair, but I mean, Patrick Stewart's been like, it's probably going to happen. And then now he's saying it is going to happen, but that's it. It's like, so it's gone from probably to is. So it's like, okay.
And I saw a cute picture of Patrick Stewart
hugging Sneak with Martin Green.
Well, no, I saw that. But there was also another picture somewhere during the con. Someone said it was just before the announcement, but it could have been after, that he was hugging, what's his name, Riker?
Jonathan Frakes.
Thank you. Like, they were, like, just, like, they were just hanging out, and he was just, like, kind of, like, nuzzled into his armpit, because Jonathan Frakes is so tall. So I don't know, like, it's just interesting. The whole thing is very interesting. I mean, obviously, if Picard is coming back, then we'll probably get Riker, we'll probably get Crusher, we'll probably get Worf. I mean, and maybe not all, like, in one show, but we'll get cameos.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting that we're never getting more Star Trek, but we already knew we were getting more Star Trek. From the Alex Kurtzman thing earlier, where he's like, five new Star Trek shows are in development. And so that was already exciting. And then one of the rumors at that time was a limited series with Picard.
Right.
So, I mean, it almost seems like it was already confirmed.
I really think this is going to be the Academy thing. And he will be the instructor, or he'll be like the mentor.
Oh.
That would be really cool.
Yeah. So he won't have like a major role, but he'll be like, kind of like the headmaster or something like that.
You know? He'll be Dumbledore.
Yeah. Really, yeah, cool. Exactly. No, I mean, that's really what he'll be. He'll be the wizard. They come in at the end and he'll be like, you're a wizard, Harry.
I'm down. Yeah. I'm ready for this.
Wait, there's no wizards in Star Trek.
I can't wait for him to be like, I remember when Wesley was a pain in my ass. You remind me of Wesley.
You know Wesley's coming back with the Traveler.
Oh, yeah. Finger and ass.
Oh, maybe he lost the Traveler. Maybe he went and did his own thing.
Remember, the Traveler only has three fingers. They're very, very big.
Yes, we know. We know. You're obsessed with the finger size.
It's impressive.
It is
impressive. It's like he's got elephantitis of the hand.
Yes, he does. I don't know if that actor's still alive, is he? I'm assuming he must be. But he's probably aged quite a bit. But so has Will Wheaton. So, anyways, cool stuff. I mean, I'm sure the whole Star Trek world is in flames with this.
The Patrick Stewart news. I wish I was more excited like everyone else. Maybe I'm just jaded because I'm always reading the news. Yeah, and I'm just like, yeah.
Does anything ever like get you like really like
excited?
Yeah, because every time there's like some big announcement, you're like, yeah, whatever.
I don't. I just read the rumors so much that the announcement isn't surprising. You know what I mean? I read so much of the behind the scenes and like, you know, rumors and stuff all the time.
Right.
So when they announce it, I'm like, yeah, I already kind of knew that was coming. So I'm like, yeah.
Well, but it wasn't for certain. Like there was just that he just kept
hinting at it,
hinting and insinuating that there might be a,
that was close enough for me, I guess.
I thought he was going to be on Discovery. Like I thought maybe Discovery might shoot into the future for a season or something.
There's no reason it can't.
Yeah. True.
It's proven it has a time travel capabilities.
Yeah, right. Well, I don't know. Obviously, details will come out. Apparently, no scripts have been written. Nothing's been like really hammered out. I'm assuming there's some sketchy details, but we just don't know.
It's probably got a treatment at best.
Yeah.
The thing is, like with the script writing for Star Trek, it's surprisingly slow. Like whenever we heard that Aaron Harberts and Gretchen Berg were let go from Discovery, that they'd only shot up to 5 episodes. I don't even think they'd finished writing them.
It's weird.
And I'm just like,
how do you not have them mostly written? I understand like polishing up a few spots here and there. Like you're like, this dialogue is kind of clunky here. Can we rewrite?
You're like, there should be like a plan.
Yeah. I don't.
But the thing is, the plan has to change because they
fired people.
Well, they got rid of Gretchen Berg and Aaron Harberts, but the rumor is that they blew most of the budget on the first 5 episodes. So whether they were written already or not, they'll have to be rewritten to be bottle episodes, most likely, so they can, like, you know, not have a huge budget. Tribunal episode.
They always
we got to have the Klingon Tribunal episode where, like, Laurel gets kicked out because, you know, I think in Next Gen they said a woman's never served on the High Council, and they probably just wrote that part of history out.
Oh, right. Or, yeah, I don't know. But then they just also, I mean, TOS said there's never been a female captain.
I think that was of Constitution class ships.
Oh, maybe.
Or that's just how it was interpreted.
Yeah.
Because the Connies were like the big, like the man on block ships.
I don't don't know. I remember they said that, and I thought it was bullshit even when I heard it when I was a kid. I was like, what? There's equality for all, but not women? What?
Well, so, it's kind of how Star Trek Continues took it. It was only for the Connies. Only men captained the Connies.
Only the men.
Yeah. And which is why they all got blown up, according to Star Trek Continues, because all the constitutions had major issues with them. Or they all got destroyed. They never, none of them completed their 5-year mission.
Now, what if you were like a Caitlyn Jenner kind of thing? Like transgender.
In what way?
Like, what if you made the transition from man to woman? Could you command the Connie, a constitution class?
Oh, I don't know. I think they'd probably be like, no, you can't. You've given up your cojones. You can't do a constitution class now.
So to activate the ship, your testicles go into the captain's chair. Sort of like the keys, right?
Yes, the constitution. There's a ball scan. It's like a ball print. So like, you know, you've got like, you know, lines on your balls like you do on your finger. So it just scans them. And if it's,
so like
match,
when Kirk does the retina scan for the Genesis project, he kind of goes through the same thing every time he sits on the captain's seat.
Exactly.
Interesting. See, you learn things on Synthaholics.
We
that you
teach
never
you.
Never knew.
My goodness.
Well, let's
things you may not have wanted to know.
Shatner's testicles. All right, so we are moving on because this conversation has
taking a turn.
Yes,
and we can't see Holly's stare intensely at us that we're disgusting her, but we can feel it.
We can feel it from thousands of miles away. All right, so this episode we're going to take a quick left turn into Black Mirror territory.
But the thing is, we aren't talking about Star Trek. But if you listen to last week's episode, thematically, we're jumping off. Like, we're picking up right where we left off thematically.
Yes, but it's a quick left turn, and if you didn't hold your drink, you probably spilt it.
All over your pants. So hopefully you've got a chain so people don't think you're wet.
Hopefully
yourself.
They're not white pants, too, because white pants stain so easily. All right, so Black Mirror, we are talking about the episode Be Right Back, which is season 2, episode 1, and aired February 11th, 2013. Starts at a gas station.
As
raining.
As all romantic tales do.
So we get a woman named Martha, played by Haley Atwell. She plays, what's her name? Haley Carter in the Captain America movies.
And, oh, yeah.
Yes. And she's like an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
She's familiar.
Nice.
Yes. And we get Ash Starmer, which is Domhnall Gleeson, who is
General Hux.
General Hux from Force Awakens.
Wasn't he also a Weasley?
Weasley?
In Harry Potter?
No, I think...
Holly. The old elder brothers.
No. I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so. No. I didn't see him there.
I'm going to make a clicky noise right here.
A clicky noise. He also played, if you hadn't seen it, and I'm sure most of the audience hasn't, I just seen it because I was with my kids. They did a Peter Rabbit movie, and he played Mr. McGregor, like the owner of the farm that Peter Rabbit goes into. It is really damn funny, and he is awesome in that movie.
The funny thing is, I think Holly and I started watching Peter Rabbit, and we couldn't get through the first 15
minutes. It's not good, but it's fun. He's funny in that movie.
No.
So it's just that I had to sit through it, and I was just like, this is actually, he's the best part of this whole movie.
He wasn't terrible, but like the it was, we couldn't get through it.
Exactly, Holly.
Sorry, who's talking?
I was just agreeing with you. I thought you paused for a second. I was like, it was bad, but I do agree with Aaron that he was the best part of the movie for the 15 minutes we did watch it.
Where he was like the store,
like cleaning the toilet or whatever.
He's like, now I will drink from this toilet, and he's ready to drink, and they like interrupt him just before he does. I mean, that's pretty. Yeah. It's pretty funny, and he does it so convincingly,
straight faced. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's pretty good. Anyways, so
Aaron, he is Bill Weasley.
Oh, is he
in Harry Potter? Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Thanks to the clicky noise.
Clicky noise. So yeah, so he's plays. So General Hux is played by is the actor, and that's his name is Ash, and they are moving to this farmhouse, which I guess he was raised in this farmhouse. This Ash character, Hux. Mm-hmm. Hux was raised in a farmhouse.
Hux, Ash, what's that?
And we get this, like, little, like, so we get a kind of scene with the couple. Like, she's carrying two coffees and some groceries or something, and he's kind of lost in his phone.
Yeah.
So, and when she comes in, you know, she's like, you know, are you gonna open the door? Coffee's hot.
Oh, mate.
You know. Yeah, and it's like, okay, so he's like kind of absent-minded, you know. It's like he doesn't seem like an asshole, but he just seems like kind of just lost in his own world, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sort of like me. I get lost.
Well, and then the couple times she says things to him, like, so, like, you know, would you like your soup in a shoe? And he's like, yeah, that's fine. You know, like, he's because he's so lost in his phone.
I'm not that bad.
Yeah. So we're seeing, like, he gets distracted easily with his cell phones. If anything about this is going to teach anybody, is do not pick up your cell phone while you're driving.
Exactly.
There were so many little foreboding things, like while he was on his phone, they were talking about a storm. And then, like, when she put in the coordinates to go home, it said, drive safe. And, like, all these little things, I was like, oh, man, he's going to crash.
That guy's going to die. Phone. Yeah. This guy's gonna die. Yeah, so he's like really lost in his phone. We get this scene as they're driving home from the gas station, and they're singing the Bee Gees, and you know, we get like kind of an introduction to the couple, that he's absent-minded and he's not maybe the perfect guy.
And he talks about how he secretly liked him. It wasn't like his favorite thing up front.
Oh, the Bee Gees.
Yeah.
Right.
He felt to me like he cared a little too much about what people thought of him, but he didn't really express himself as himself enough.
Yeah, I would say so. So yeah, so he's kind of in his own world with the cell phone and social media. He's always putting different types of posts up, and when they see he gets back to the farmhouse, there's a picture of him on the mantle, and he takes a picture of it. And he posts it kind of saying, like, oh, it looks funny. And she said, oh, I think it looks cute. And he goes, I was a fake smile. And my, after, I guess he had a brother that passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And when they died, or when his brother died, she took all the pictures and just shoved it upstairs into the attic. So just kind of out of mind.
But that one.
More foreshadowing.
Yes, for sure. So
these episodes are very well written, guys. If you haven't watched Black Mirror, you should check it out.
Yeah, for sure. No, this is, I mean,
we talked about the USS Callister before.
Yes, we did.
But another reason I want to talk about this episode is because it does have links to USS Callister in a way.
Okay.
So we can get that.
I'm unaware of that, but you can inform me later.
Yeah.
So he posts the picture, and we get like a lovemaking section, sex scene between the couple, and
intercourse happens.
Yes. And unfortunately, he just came way too early.
Watching his phone the entire time.
He's just like, yeah. What was that? What was that, honey? Oh, I'm done.
Oh, oops.
And he just rolls over and falls asleep. He goes, I'm quite knackered. And he just falls asleep. Unfortunately, what he does not know, that will soon become his daughter. That knackered sperm. Swim sperm.
That doesn't happen.
It does happen.
It does.
We just don't see it. It's off screen.
He's not playing on his phone, though.
No, he's not.
No, no, no.
Right. Yeah. That'd be funny if he was, though. Taking, like, selfies, posting,
like,
it on Facebook.
In the mirror on the dresser on his phone, like.
Posting on. I'm totally doing my wife. All right. So. So next we have Ash has got to go into town for something. Oh, they got to pick up the car or something, right?
Yeah, take the truck back.
Yeah,
the moving truck.
The moving truck's got to come back, and she's got a deadline that came in because she's an illustrator. I love her illustration computer.
I want one of those so bad.
It's awesome. So cool. It's like a Surface thing, but
it's
way
curved,
way cooler.
Huge.
Yeah, so neat. Anyways, so he says, oh, I'll have to go all by myself. It'll be alone and everything. And she's like, well, you know,
I have to make my own lunch, so suck it. And he's like, all right, have a great day.
It was cute. It was cute. Like, obviously, it was cute. They're, you can tell they're a cute couple together. And he drives off, and the day progresses. But then she doesn't hear from Ash, and it's been a while. And then she calls, they call Martha, asking about, the truck's got to be returned. He goes, you should have done it a while back, you know.
And then I think she calls his parents.
Her sister.
Before she heard from the truck people, she had been frantically calling. At least she had talked to her sister at least.
Yeah.
But didn't like call the cops or anything.
And then the cops do show up
just on their own.
Yeah. So obviously he did distractive driving.
Mm-hmm.
The episode never ever says what happens.
And you don't see him die.
And you don't see they don't show anything.
It's basically her point of view. She's at the house, she's doing her thing, and then the cops show up.
It's pretty much all from her point of view, which is great. It's a great way to do the episode. And there's only like 10 people you see. I mean, I guess the funeral scene, I guess, has a little bit more people, but like, it's really like a very small cast for this episode.
Yeah.
So really well done.
So then we get to the scene where, you know, they have Ash's wake and there's family members all around. And I'm not clear who the person was. There was a lady. Wasn't her sister. Might have been a family friend.
I think it was just a friend.
But it starts telling, you know, because obviously she went through some kind of loss that they could there's a program that you could have it, so it seems like he's actually be talking to her.
But she doesn't explain it like that.
No, it's really, she's very cryptic, and she's like, what are you talking about?
And it made her freak out.
Yeah, she literally yells, shut up, really loud in the wake, you know, and then everyone's like, whoa, okay.
Yeah. She's saying that Ash would be perfect for the program since he was an avid user.
Yeah.
Right, right.
And then like a day or two passes, and obviously she's moved on. She's cleaning up the house. She's doing her thing at the country house. And she gets an email from that person saying, you know, I signed you up. And I'm like, that's pretty presumptuous, you know, to do that.
What a good friend.
What a friend. That's what friends are for.
I'll sign you up for Match.com. I'll pay for your first month.
That'd be great. I've thought about doing that for some people, let me tell you.
you set up their whole profile. Oh my god, that'd be hilarious. Set up people's profiles. So anyways.
You're so good to people, Holly.
Hey. Match.com is legit, okay?
Holly would be even better if you did that to people and they didn't know it. And then you set them up on blind dates with people.
Exactly.
That'd actually be kind of funny. Yeah. You punk people and they'd be like, I just met this guy. He's awesome. Like, he knows everything I know. So. That would be kind of funny.
Is this more or less presumptuous than the Match.com thing?
I would say more presumptuous.
Yeah.
Just wanted to put a feeler out for the crowd.
Yes. So, she keeps on getting sick and throwing up. She has morning sickness, which she doesn't realize. When she takes the baby test, she's pregnant.
I'm preggers.
She's pregnant. So,
which makes her reconsider.
That knackered sperm made its way to the egg and it's gestating.
It was
now.
So unsatisfying.
So unsatisfying, but it's going to give you a lot of work later on. Don't worry. So
you're saying it wasn't worth it?
It's not worth it! Run! Run, Martha!
You know, I feel like if her sister had answered the phone after she saw the results, she probably would not have answered the email.
I was going to thought you say she's going to have an abortion. No.
Dark.
That one dark. This whole episode's dark, though.
Yes, it is.
Anyways,
Black Mirror typically is dark.
It's the words "black" is in there, so it insinuates darkness.
Oh, I didn't even realize that.
Yes, and the mirror reflects us.
Oh,
yeah.
I know. We're terrible people. Gotcha. We should rename the podcast
"Terrible People."
No, Black Mirror.
Oh. Syntholics to terrible people.
Exactly.
A terrible people podcast.
A Black Mirror podcast.
Yeah, we should do that. Anyways, so she, in moment of weakness, she, like you said, Holly, she does call her sister. Her sister is too busy with her family. What the fuck? And then she ends up activating the Ash program. And there's like a text message where he kind of like answers in his cadence.
Yes.
So as she goes back and forth, he says, you know, you can talk to me. Like you can, I can, you know, audibly talk to you.
And then go ahead, Ollie.
She end up calling the woman who signed her up for it and actually getting her to explain it to her before she did it? Or
yeah.
Was that after she did it?
It was right after she got the email. She chewed her out.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, yeah. There was a chew out moment.
And
yeah.
In bed,
I glazed over.
I really wish that
by glaze I mean I didn't mention it.
I really wish they would have pulled out from that scene where she was like sleeping in the bed and show like the robot version of whatever her lost one was like right next to her, because the camera was really close on her. Yeah. I could just see like it'd be funny like pull out and it's like a robot, and it's like heads like in the bed or whatever. Like,
well, you
so you're saying her bed's filled with robot
that.
Heads?
No, no, but like just. That way you would know it's a robot. It's just the head would come off or something like that.
Oh, like a head pops off?
Yeah.
So she's a robot.
No, no, no. The person, it would pull out and it would show like the robot of her lover, whoever who died, you know?
Okay.
But just because it was really close up on her and she's like, it's worth it. Trust me. You know? It's like the best sex doll you've ever had. And it's your boyfriend.
It's your boyfriend.
Or your husband or whatever
but
you want.
Like, it's like it, but better. So,
he doesn't get tired.
He never gets tired. So, she activates the program so she can talk to him. And now she can actually hear his voice. And obviously he has, she uploaded a bunch of videos and everything. So he can get like, the program can mimic
the voice
pretty well. So.
So the way the program works is like they analyze the person who's dead, they analyze their social media, and then they form the personality around that. So that's why it's like you're talking to your dead loved one.
Oh, and then there's also an option where you can give whoever's providing the service access to their private emails.
So it can
build a more complete profile.
Yeah, so all that... clown porn is going to come in handy.
Yes.
All right. So,
anyway.
Yeah, there you go. I love that. That's a great noise. Okay. So,
air horns.
No, don't do the air horn.
I will.
Oh, God. So, anyways, there's at one point she takes a long walk into the countryside, and there's this big cliff. I guess it's like a lover's leap thing where they doom lovers that weren't supposed to get married.
Suicide for
jumped
for kicks?
Off. I thought they just like, that's all.
This was...
I think this was a thing.
It reminds me of the Monty Python skit where, like, the guy's getting chased by all those, like, 100 naked women, and then he jumps off the... I wonder if this is the same cliff, because it's, like, a pretty...
Yes, but there weren't as many naked women in this
episode. No, in fact, there was zero. Implied, but actual zero.
But zero. Yeah, but I do think this was a thing in Victorian ages where, lovers that... Or people that were in love would jump off of cliffs when they didn't...
When the love wasn't returned.
Good she God. Doesn't love me!
Oh, man, I think I need one of those cliffs.
You want one of those?
I mean, maybe.
Can't we just do a slide for you?
Okay, let's do a slide.
Like a twirly slide?
Is it a slip and slide?
Yeah, yeah.
Or is it one of the ones that just launches you into the ocean?
Oh, that'd be fun, too.
So you'll be safe?
I was thinking one of the curly ones that go around circles and you go down. But that'd be, you know, hundreds of feet, so...
That would be a long throwly slide. I have so much aspirin.
And a lot of throwing up.
Yay.
I don't think death would be fun.
I think death would be preferred.
I don't think that's like the whole point.
Oh, no, it's not for fun. It's for death.
For what?
For death.
For death.
To die.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha.
It's to die for, darling.
It's to die for.
It's for death. It's to die, darling.
It's to die for.
The White Cliffs of Dover. fireman's pole down.
It keeps going.
I had to grease it. Because your thighs are all chapped at the end of it.
Yes.
So she's up there on the cliff and remarking to it to the robot Ash.
And he's like, show it to me. How do I do that? Use your phone's camera. How else would I see it?
You dipshit. So,
yeah.
And he's not impressed. It just looks green. There wasn't much to
like,
it.
Like a soccer field.
Yeah. Later we find out that he says there's another option.
It's very expensive, though.
Very expensive. This has to be expensive. And if this even happens 50 years in the future, this still has to be super expensive.
We'll spare no expense.
Yeah, exactly. So,
like Jurassic Park.
So it's not said what it is, but all of a sudden she gets what it looks like a appliance delivery. It's not an appliance, though. This is actually a robot.
It's an Ash robot.
Isn't it, though?
I guess it's a bit of an appliance.
It's the best sex toy she's ever ordered.
Yes.
Oh, I can turn that on and off pretty much whenever.
Yes. General Hux, you're amazing.
So can I, lady.
So, the delivery comes. She opens it up. It's all wrapped in plastic. She's supposed to put it in the bathtub. She throws it in the bathtub. And during this time, Ash is giving her, kind of step-by-step instructions on what to do. And she activates the... by activating it, she puts it in the bathtub and has to sit there and soak for a while. And I guess it kind of forms into the Ash.
Yeah. There. It fills in or it gets hydrated or whatever it needs to.
It's like those dinosaurs put in the hot and into water. Yeah. Those little sponge dinosaurs.
It comes freeze dried.
Yeah. There you go.
I was thinking like the Quaker oatmeal with the dinosaur eggs.
That's exactly. Yeah.
All of a sudden you have little candy dinosaurs.
That's what it is. Hope it's not a Velociraptor that she gets in there.
I hope it's not a Terminator 800 series.
Yeah, right?
Cyberdyne Systems Model 101.
That might be sexier, though.
I've got muscles.
But I do want to, bring up the fact that, it's not really Ash.
No, it's just it's like he brings out later on.
It's a fabricated personality that mimics him, but it's not really him.
Right. And not only that, but he's just a robot that's getting his personalities in the cloud. So it's like at one point she's getting the baby, getting ultrasound, and she drops her phone in the office and she freaks out. Mm-hmm. And she gets a new phone. It's like, I'm in the cloud. What are you talking about? Don't worry about it. I'm not in your phone. Like, doesn't she do this?
She's obviously not the techie of the family. He was the techie of the family.
Yeah, or maybe she's...
It's her grief.
Yeah, maybe it's her grief that she thinks that she lost him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, it's also that kind of thing where, when you talk to somebody every day all the time, you do feel a loss whenever they're not there or, something happens to your phone and that's your only connection to them. I can kind of empathize with that a little bit. Oh my God, I might freak out too if I lost my phone. Because, a lot of my friends are online. I talk to you guys online most of the time.
I would just enjoy my life. Silence. Silence.
I kill you.
So we know where I'm coming out in this Venn diagram.
Yes.
So anyways, so the Ash robot is activated and he's completely naked and he even makes a joke that, hey, wouldn't it be great if you gave me a towel or some clothes? And
right. Could have left some clothes in the bathroom.
And let me just say, General Hux has no muscles. None at all.
None.
I mean, did you expect General Hux to have anything?
I thought he'd have something. He has no muscles. He is the body of a 10-year-old boy.
He is the everyday man.
I don't even think that.
Really?
I think most men have a little bit of muscles on them. Yeah, anyways, I just couldn't comment on his physique there for a moment.
Play-Doh. Skinny fat.
Anyways, we're going to... She obviously is kind of freaked out by him. She's trying to, maybe... I don't know if she's just trying to let it settle. The idea that he's so realistic looking and talks like him.
Looks like him. Doesn't bone like him. Oh, you're missing a freckle there. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll fill it in.
Yeah. So she has a glass of wine while she's pregnant, which she should not have. But One glass of wine is not going to do anything to the baby.
Oh, it'll just make her want to go up to the attic every weekend.
Basically. Up the attic with you.
No, Mommy.
Get up there. Your test scores are too low.
You'll get beaten by your robot father.
Yes, that's right.
He can hit much harder than I can.
So,
even with his no
muscles.
This
is where we do have the sex scene between Robot Ash and flesh, real life flesh, Martha. It's quite.
I thought you were going to say fleshlight.
Fleshlight? No.
Why are you calling her real life flesh?
Well, she's flesh and bone.
Real life, I guess.
She's but... flesh and bone. Anyways, we have that, and it's obviously, unlike the real Ash, who finished in like 15 seconds, he just kept going all night, all night long.
Till she shaved.
All night long, all night.
Come back to me.
Come back to me?
I don't know. I don't know the song. I'm just saying things.
All right. I like when I sing, you make up words to a song that doesn't exist.
Exactly.
All right.
It's so funny.
Anyways.
To me, it doesn't exist, so I'm just like, add to it.
Anyways.
It's so funny that you've never heard some of the most basic music in American history. I mean, I know that's not one of them, but it's a pretty popular song.
I've been hearing a lot more since I've been hanging out with Kaylee.
That's good.
My song repertoire is going up.
Just... turn on the radio once in a while.
I don't like the radio. It's always on at work, and they all have some of the same five songs. I can't stand the radio at work.
What station is it?
I don't know.
Did you change the station?
I just turn it off, usually, if I'm by myself.
Just change the station, David.
Yeah. Well, all right. So, she gets... the next morning, she seems like she's a bit freaked out. That she said, oh, I had the wine. I was a little, like... I was
flirtatious.
I don't think I was thinking straight.
Why did you get the robot then?
Yeah.
Honestly.
That's weird.
I think she got scared that she like just cheated on her dead fiance
Is it cheating if you have sex with an inanimate object? I mean, he's animate, but.
Is it?
Like, he's animate.
But he's.
Like,
but also her husband's
but once,
dead.
When your spouse or boyfriend, girlfriend dies. Yes, maybe, you know, running out the next day to, you know, find someone to fill that spot might seem a little...
disingenuous?
But it's still... you can do it.
Yeah, I mean, they're not around anymore. And,
yeah, once...
Especially if you're older, you might not have that much time.
That's right. Oh, sure.
Yeah. gotta find the next level of your life.
Hurry up!
Oh my gosh.
Anyways. Yeah, I don't know. But I don't think she was... I think she's more freaked out that she did it with a robot and she liked it. That's what I think she freaked out. I think that's what freaked her out.
Yeah.
She liked it more. And maybe she liked it more and maybe that's what freaked her out. Like that she felt ashamed or something.
Well, whatever. You know. I just say go with it. You know. But whatever. You know. Everyone's got it. Their own path.
Don't need my magic wand no more.
So we get like a couple. So her sister ends up showing up, and she hides Robot Ash upstairs, and I guess she saw Robot Ash's clothes in the
bathroom,
and she at the very end says, "Oh, I see you've moved on. That's good. I'm glad." We don't know how much time has elapsed, by the way. We don't know if it's been, like...
days or weeks.
Or months. We just don't know.
Oh, I mean, we know it's been at least days, because I think it was, like, at least a couple days, because she scrolls back in her email. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how much email you get. I mean, some people get a lot of email, so...
delete a lot of emails.
She didn't look like
I
she did.
A lot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, it could have been just a couple days, or it could have been a day, depending on how... But I would have say it's been a couple...
A day?
A couple days, since between when she got the invite... and when she originally got the
thing. I'm assuming it had to be at least 2 to 3 weeks.
Since the funeral, probably, yes. Yes.
So
yeah, I would say about that, too.
But, so she's like, oh, I see you've moved on, you know, you deserve to be happy, you know, and kind of she leaves. And at a certain point that she gets more and more freaked out that this robot Ash is not, looks like Ash.
Actually, Ash.
acts a little bit like him, but doesn't have like the really the nuances of what Ash would do. Mm-hmm. And she
doesn't when they get in the. Sorry, never mind.
No, go ahead.
I think I'm jumping ahead, though. I mean, it does pertain to what you're saying. I was just going to say that isn't the song that she turns on in the car when they decide to leave the house a Bee Gees song?
Yes.
And he's like cheesy.
Yeah, he says that's
and
cheesy.
She's just like she's like what. This guy really isn't him.
Yeah, because he did know that. But
she just figured it out.
Yeah, because his public persona was like, oh, that's cheesy music.
Right.
But deep down, he really liked it. So
Dark secrets.
Dark secrets of Bee Gees secrets. Mm-hmm. He's got all the Bee Gees albums at home. he plays them in the basement in the dark.
In his bathroom.
Staying alive, staying alive. You know that one.
He knows the song.
So she has these real freaky...
I got two song references this episode.
You did. You get a couple times where she gets more and more freaked out, and at one point she kicks him out of the house, and apparently he can't go too far from where the place
was. His activation point.
Which was the bathtub.
That conversation was hilarious.
It was kind of funny. He was just kind of hanging outside, and he says, I feel a little
just
ornamental.
Blowing your mind.
Yeah,
isn't that what he says?
He says, I feel a little ornamental out here. So.
And then she's like, where's your activation point? And he's like, well, this is going to surprise you, but this is where I was activated at. I just like, that was a dumb question. She is not the techie person in this family.
Yeah.
I swear.
Well, and then at some point she's gets kind of sick of him and she decides to take him out to the cliffs of Dover. And she's like, I want you to jump off the cliff. And
he's like, that doesn't seem right.
Okay.
Like, he's not begging for his life.
No,
but
he's like, sure. And then she gets mad at him.
And then he says, that's not how he would act. He would be upset and he would start yelling at me and stuff like that.
He would have figured out that's why we were coming out here.
Right. And then he's like, then he starts getting emotional. So he just puts on this like...
really good performance, though.
A good performance, for sure. But it's obviously just for show because that's what's expected. So...
And she screams... She screams bloody murder.
She does scream. And then we get a flash forward to where the daughter is born. And the daughter is already looking like she's like 7 or 8.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I think she was over her 8th birthday or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right. Thank you. That's right. And they're going to have birthday cake. And she goes, oh, I want to have another slice of cake. And she reluctantly gives her a second slice of cake. And they head up to the attic. That's where we see Robot Ash.
Still alive.
Staying alive.
So Robot Ash has been relegated to the attic with all the other...
With all the old photographs.
Right. And we even get a moment where she's like, I gotta go up and see this asshole. And
I bet she pulls him out once every once in a while.
Yeah, you think so. But maybe, but... And the episode kind of ends right there. So, I don't know. It's interesting. Dave,
bleak.
What did you think about this when you saw this?
I just thought it was, this is my second time watching it because I actually thought about this episode while I was editing last week's episode, which is why I wanted to talk about this one because we've been talking about doing more non-Star Trek stuff. And I was wanting us to do something non-Star Trek, but I'm like, when we do something on Star Trek, we can link it. Like we were talking about maybe doing, like linking it by like actors or whatever, something like that. All but this time I was like, we can link it thematically. Like if you listen to the last week, this is almost going to be a part two, even though it has nothing to do with Star Trek, but thematically the stuff that Aaron and I talk about after the show or, in the post show discussion.
Right. Cause we were talking about, the Dax being, going from Curzon to Jadzia.
And then also, what would it be like if we were able to take on someone else's experience and pass on all that experience to somebody else?
Right.
And even down to putting it into an automaton with a Quaker Oats head.
That's right.
And spatula feet.
That's right.
That's Aaron's like super awesome robot. So
Sailor Tong hands, I think I said, right?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah, it was great.
I'm going to be the best
robot
ever.
The best robot.
Best robot ever.
And like the body is like a gas can.
Yeah, it's gonna be good.
It's
yeah.
gonna be awesome.
It's gonna be good. So so you picked it because you wanted it
thematic to do something non-Star Trek but keep it thematically in the ballpark where we were last week. So hopefully if you guys listened last week and you pick up this episode, we can get into a similar kind of discussion where it's the theme of passing on, dying and then what happens after death, and can you, you know, put in human consciousness? Can human consciousness survive like death? And this episode shows so very well kind of what I was talking about last week, mm-hmm. where at the point where you know, since I'm a Christian and I believe the soul goes on, like, I know this isn't directly copying your mind, but this is the next best thing, really. Taking sure. your social media footprint, everything you've done online,
right.
and how you act as a person, that's almost the next best thing. And that, right. and it just shows what a shell of a person you are. Like, if you're just talking, that's fine, because there's no physical interaction. But then once you are in person with somebody and you know how they act, their idiosyncrasies, their tics, their mannerisms,
yeah.
and all that is gone. It just shows you what kind of a shell that existence could be. Mm-hmm. And that's super fascinating, which is why I thought of this episode and why I was excited to watch it again.
David, you ended that thought with could be. And honestly, I feel like a lot of people today really are a shell, and all they're becoming their social media persona. They forget to actually turn off the computer or put down their phone and go do something and not take a picture while they're doing it. You know, I don't think it's that far off. And I'm not saying I don't think it's that far off to where they are actually going to be able to manage this, but I think people are that shell.
Well, there's definitely, I think there's a public image that people put forward, you know, that, so mm-hmm. it's like your social media image. Like, so what you decide to put, some people put everything out there.
Yes.
Some people will never say a damn thing. And some people right. just put here and there, you know? So it's like, mm-hmm. everyone's a little different. So, but I agree with you. Holly, there's a lot of people that put, they don't, it's like something I see, because, you know, I'm older, as the joke goes, and I do notice that when I'm in public places, especially with a lot of younger people, I notice that they're all kind of consumed in their, like, phones and stuff like that, and it's, I mean, I'm just as guilty, but it's just sometimes you're like, you're not talking to anybody, you know? You're, like, not with each yeah. other. You're not, like, really engaging. And I see even young couples at, like, at restaurants, and they don't...
converse.
They don't converse. They're just on their phones. It's kind of weird.
Yep.
It's like, you know, put it down for a minute. You know, let's talk. Let's get to know each other. Let's see what's happening, so...
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, Holly. I think it's interesting that people are becoming that shell. But, I mean... Yeah, I think that's really fascinating. Really good observation. And, you know, I think that's what Black Mirror is kind of there to kind of warn us about. Because it's the Black Mirror, if, for those of you who have not seen any episodes of it, it's basically like Twilight Zone or Outer Limits, but it's all based on technology and future technology and what it could do to ruin our lives, basically.
It's a social commentary on technology and how it impacts humanity, you know?
Yeah, and it's scary. It's really scary.
They take things to, like, a dark degree, like, ooh, shit.
But the thing is, like, I could see Facebook offering this service in a few years.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like...
Oh, can... So...
We'll form your personality on the movies that are in your queue.
Yeah, well, you're...
No, that would be the Netflix one.
Yeah.
But the Netflix will offer their version. Facebook will offer another version. Twitter, a different version. And then, like, there's, like, another parent company that you can, like, group them all together to get the same.
Amalgamation of everything, yeah.
Put them all together. That would be fantastic. And
so,
I wonder how much that'll cost.
So there's a, I don't know what to call him, maybe a futurist. His name's Ray Kurzweil. And he, he did a lot of amazing things, actually. If you look him up, he, even at a young age, he was programming computers and stuff like that, and he was doing stuff at a very young age, and now he's older. He's probably in his, like, 70s, maybe 80s. But he is a big proponent thinking basically what we saw in this episode is going to happen. He believes that it'll happen probably in the 2040s. The big thing for him was that when he lost his father meant a lot to him. And he wants to reconstruct his father with his writings and everything else that, and now his father probably wasn't around for like social media.
Well, probably not, yeah.
But he believes that this is something that is going to happen.
I would not be surprised. That's the thing is with Black Mirror. Like, I could see most of the stuff actually happening.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that far out, I don't think.
And if you think about it, just for a moment, we take photographs all the time. We take videos all the time. And we look back every once in a while. Like, oh, remember this memory? You know? And it's like, we don't think anything about it. But if you think before they had a photograph, somebody had to sit and paint that damn thing. It took them, took them like probably months to finish a nice a full painting. And now you can have a photograph in minutes.
Seconds.
Well, in seconds, but I'm saying if you print it out.
Yeah.
And you put it on your, like, you know, mantle or whatever. But, you know, what would this be if you have just a, you know, an AI that can talk to you with dad's voice or mom's voice after they've passed on? And just so you have a, you know, what would mom say for things like this?
Like a keepsake. Yeah. It's just.
It's bizarre.
It is bizarre. And it's scary. And it's also extremely fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously just a photograph, a representation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a photograph is as well as a painting, is only, you know, colors, which light refracts into our eyes. And it's just that those shapes take a meaning to us. You know, that's a picture of my uncle. That's a picture of, you know, my ex, you know, that's a picture of, you know, me back in the third grade or whatever, you know. But you know what those are because your brain can identify it. But it's nothing more than that.
Yeah.
And right. But when it's commonplace to us, could in 100 years, could an AI that's been programmed off our social media presence and emails and everything else, our Netflix cues, be, you know, it'd be kind of like a photograph of us?
And hope not.
And you could just dial up, you know, Holly or David or Aaron and be like, you know, wonder what they thought.
We'll just all be in, like, the cloud.
It'd be great if we just kept on podcasting.
we've joked about that before where it's like...
Very...
I think it was on USS Callister where we joked about this before where it's like, you know, they can just copy our consciousnesses. And then they can keep formulating new episodes based on previous episodes and... topics we haven't talked about.
Oh, dude, we have so much.
There's so much, yeah.
There's so much of me and Dave at least talking about shit. Oh, we're in trouble.
And then if they find all the blackmail.
All the blackmail tapes?
All the stuff that wasn't in episodes.
We are really in trouble.
If they find that, they're gonna like, wow, like, we're gonna seem schizophrenic to the computer. I want to hear a Synthaholics episode completely automated. Just from an AI. I want to hear that so very much.
Yeah.
But Holly, this is your first Black Mirror episode, right?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
What did you think?
I don't know. I might flip through the descriptions and see if there's something that sounds interesting to me. I'm not saying that this doesn't sound interesting to me, because obviously I freaking loved Altered Carbon, and it's kind of similar, but obviously it's a little more like actual. It was actual consciousnesses transferred and not just a profile. But I don't know. I might look around and see if there are any other Black Mirror episodes that are interesting.
Oh, White Christmas. White Christmas is good.
It's like probably, I think White Christmas is my favorite
one. Is that the last episode?
John Hamm.
Of season one, right?
I don't remember which episode it is, but it's the one with John Hamm. Yeah, White Christmas, okay. It's so good. It's probably by far my favorite, but so.
Just as dark, though.
It's even worse.
Yeah.
As far as darkness goes.
I don't know. It kind of frustrated me at points because, you know, like you know, Aaron, like you said earlier in the beginning that, like, you know, it's not that he's a bad boyfriend. He's just stuck in his phone and he's distracted. And I'm thinking, well, if I, you know, if Michael was ignoring me the way he, you know, I'm standing out in the rain with two boiling hot coffees and Michael's on his phone and I'm banging on the door and he can't hear me. He might have scalding hot coffee in his crotch.
See,
because that's
what I was
okay.
thinking too. I was thinking that too. I don't know. I mean, it's just like, yeah, you know, it's like, but I think it kind of gave a little charm because you realize that he's not great, but he's not a bad guy.
Yeah, I think they were just setting up the episode, but it still irritated me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's kind of like the movie Mother. Like, they're setting up the movie, but it's really frustrating.
Yeah, right. That's a great movie.
It is a good movie. I also hate that movie.
I love it. We'll have to talk. Talk some other time about Mother, because obviously it has nothing to do with this. But I love that movie.
Right. But yeah, the movie it was just kind of frustrating to me personally, because I wouldn't have allowed myself to be in that situation. So to see somebody else in that situation, and like, yeah, they had a good relationship, but did they really? I mean, she didn't even know that he genuinely liked the Bee Gees. Well, I'm just saying.
Like, no, I guess, like, what every relationship is has its weak points, and obviously his weak point was he's just consumed with his phone, you know, or the tech or whatever, you know. Some people are, you know. I've met plenty of people. I've been in cars with people who don't put their phone down while they're driving, and I'm like, dude, can you put that down so we don't die? So, I mean, it happens.
Are you sure you don't want me to drive?
I'll drive. So, yeah, I mean, honestly, I felt that was a bit of the charm of just let you know that he's not perfect. And when he comes back, it's obviously he's still not perfect, but she liked him in the more human imperfections.
You know, it's kind of weird, but she might have been so freaked out because he was attentive and waiting for her response and to know what he should be doing.
Yeah, good point. Good
because
point.
Yeah, he was always stuck in his phone, and now here, quote unquote, he is just like waiting for her and wanting to know what she wants him to do, what she thinks he should do.
Yeah, waiting for her to give him prompts on how to act and what to say and do. It's a good point.
Yeah,
you know, you don't normally.
Right.
He was very. I don't know. I don't want to say he was. I don't want to say he was ignoring her, because he definitely wasn't, but he just got lost.
Well, the thing is, the boyfriend was living life, and the robot's not. The robot's just there to converse with her, to do the same things that it was just a chat bot, and then it was a voice bot, and now it's a physical bot, and it's there just to interact. It's not like, I feel like she had the expectations maybe that it was going to just live his life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it can't do that, because it's not, it's just, you know, pieces. It's just pieces of him.
And it doesn't even, like when at one point he was laying there while they're trying to sleep, and she rolled over and he's got his eyes open. He says, could you at least pretend to sleep?
Pretend to breathe?
Yeah, yeah, kind of thing. So, I don't know. So, as last episode we talked about, if you could take yourself and copy yourself for future generations, you know, I don't know if I would. Now, maybe if I had to do something like that for my children, if I was, you know, like I said, terminally ill and, you know, wanted to give them something to know who dad was, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'd do it for any other reason than that.
But would you rather have your mind copied, or would you want it to be guesswork by a computer? Because if we have the option in 20 years, I would, if I was to pass something down to my children so they could have something to remember me by, I would rather it be like a straight copy and it be like weird than it be like the social media presence. Cause like, I don't have much of a social, I post about Synthaholics 90% of the time, or I'll share memes, or I'll post in our group. Mm-hmm. I don't do a whole lot. I'll put up convention photos.
But how much do you have of Synthaholics out there?
A ton.
Yeah,
I know. But the thing is, like, that's not, I mean, like, Synthaholics is me and you, but at the same time, it's a character version of myself.
Sure.
And the character version of you as like radio host. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not it's us. I mean, we're David and Aaron and Holly. It's us, but it's like a different version of us that we turn on for the show. Like, it's a radio personality. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I mean, like if they assembled me out of just Synthaholics, I would probably be a terrible, terrible person.
I don't know. I kind of disagree there, David, because at least when I'm on the show with you guys, it doesn't feel like you guys are being ingenuine or not yourselves. Like, this is how we do when we sit around the campfire and just shoot the shit. So, like, this doesn't feel ingenuine or faked or a persona to me, at least as somebody who knows you personally.
I don't mean it as ingenuine. I just mean, like, maybe turned up to 10 or 11 versus, like...
Yeah, we try to be a little more, you know, entertaining, at least, when we're talking.
Versus, like, having restraint in real life.
Yeah, there's some things I would say, or you would say, for sure. That I wouldn't say in
everyday conversation. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes I might say worse things in everyday conversation. It depends on the company, but that's what I'm saying. Like if I was constructed from just Synthaholics, I don't think it would. I think it would be like a worse version of me because like I do like exaggerate. I do like look for the most strange thing to say at a given point that's like way out there. It just because I think it would be funny. And like a lot of times when we do Synthaholics, my biggest goal is to get Aaron to laugh for like where he's just like lost his place and he's like he's rolling.
It happens.
That's my goal. Like every single week, that's one of my biggest goals is to like to catch Aaron so off guard that he can't stop laughing.
I honestly, if you're going to do a snapshot of me. Maybe instead of at the actual me, maybe I'd rather you see the public image of me. I just think I have too many bad qualities that maybe people shouldn't be exposed to. You know, I'm not saying like I'm a monster, but I mean it's like if you were to have me like. You know, if they could just copy my brain and just put it right into the computer, you know, you'd get the public persona, but also you get all the bad shit, too. Like, wouldn't you just rather just have the good shit?
I don't know. I feel like the public persona, just for me personally, I don't know if my public persona is enough.
Oh, okay.
Is enough of me as a person, because, like, I like lots of stuff, not just Star Trek. So, I mean, like,
of course,
I know, but it would just be like... Like, if people think I talk a lot about Star Trek...
It'd be great. It'd be like, you just talk about... He never shuts up about Star Trek.
But the thing is, some people think that about me now. But if my public persona was built upon Synthaholics...
Yeah.
I wouldn't say anything but about Star Trek, except maybe an occasional sex joke. So there'd be, like, anything out of my mouth would be Star Trek, like, 90%, and then, like, 10% would be sex joke.
Right.
It would be... It wouldn't be me anymore. It would be less me than this automaton in this episode. Than General Huxash.
Yeah. General Huxash.
Weasley.
Holly, what about you? Would you go through this if you knew, like, let's say, you know, unfortunately you were going to die of some bad disease and you wanted to give your family something to remind them? Maybe not.
Like terminally injured, but, like, alive for a little bit?
Maybe you weren't going to, maybe you're not going to do a robot of you, but, you know, how about like a Alexa version of you or something like that, you know, there you could just talk to you.
Alexa, play Holly.
Well, don't fucking tell me what to do. So don't no, tell Alexa, me. Holly. But, I kind of have, I guess maybe a weird perspective because I don't really see that this is something for the dead. I feel like the idea of this is something for the living. And so if I were anywhere near what happens in, what's it called, Be Right Back, I would probably have to be on the side of the living in order to make a good judgment on this. And would I want this to happen with Michael, if God forbid something happens to him? No. Absolutely not. I don't want that. And I would hope he wouldn't want that of me either. You know,
but would you, like I said, what if you were like, let's say you were given like, you know, 3 months to live and, you know, if this was an option, would you sign up for it? Or would you be like, nah, that's not worth it?
No, everything. Like I love, you know, having to look up your history and your heritage and looking through all of your inheritance and tracking where everything came from. So, like, even though I've got this stupid, beautiful coat clasp, like a cloak clasp from one of my great grandparents, and, like, it's so stupid, but it's like written down where they bought it and what year and all the little information about that stupid little coat clasp. But that is so important to me. And I think if I'm going to pass anything down to my children, it would be for them to have a healthy understanding, obviously, of life and death, but also to have a joy in finding out your past, rather than just some creepy automaton living in your attic that you get to take a piece of cake to and pretend like you're giving it to him, but you're really eating it yourself. Like, that's just, that's, I guess that's how I see it. I wouldn't do it. And, you know, that's why I collect books and things, because I want to pass them on when I'm gone.
Holly, I think part of the reason Aaron's asking it that way is because last week we talked about being a Trill, and like, would you have, like, so in a similar question, would you have signed up for the Trill program? Would you have volunteered to take on some past people's personas and allowed yours to be moved on? Because me, I'm all for that. I need someone's past mistakes to learn from, and I wouldn't mind passing mine on to somebody else so they could not do what I had done. Aaron was sort of like, I don't know if I want to pass on me for similar reasons. Yeah. He had just said, but what about you with that question? Would you want to be passed on in that way? Like a Trill?
No, I don't think so. I think, again, self-discovery is really important, and, you know, I guess it's kind of like having a journal. It would be the same way of, like, you know, being able to pass on your previous experiences to the next generation or whatever. But no, I don't think I'd want that. I think everybody needs to be their own individual and learn from their own mistakes and triumphs. And if they can pass it on in other ways, I'm cool with that, but I don't think I'd want to.
But in a part way, like I said before, you know, this technology could be used as a historical document.
Mm-hmm. Just look at Galaxy Quest. Historical document.
I was just thinking that, David.
Yeah, but I mean, if you think about it, it could be.
We need your help.
We need your help. You did that perfect, Ali.
It was really good.
You're welcome.
That's good. No, but I mean,
I've never seen that movie. Ever.
I don't think that's true. Something tells me.
Actually,
Grignac.
Our friend Kaylee's last name is Saris. But people in America pronounce it Sears, and so Saris. I always call her Saris.
That's great.
Because that's the bad guy in Galaxy Quest. You get it?
Yeah.
That's the connection.
It's also one of the bad guys in Mass Effect. I thought, well, it's Sarin, but it's close.
Like sarin gas. But I mean, just to get back to getting away from Galaxy Quest, I mean, wouldn't that Ash character or robot be
Ashvok?
Ashvok. Wouldn't that be technically a like sort of like an automatron of, like, if you go to Disneyland and you go see the president's thing, they talk to you. I mean, it's sort of that, except it's way more advanced.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if it were for learning,
I mean,
what if
in 100 years, Holly, they could, like, look at, you know, like, what was, you know, Holly Michelle like?
So Holly's like, as long as my feet are nailed to a floor and I can't walk around and do things.
You know what I'm thinking of, though? Have you guys... David, I know the answer to this is no. Aaron, have you seen Silence in the Library on the Doctor Who?
Yes. Oh, what a great episode.
I've seen Silent Library.
So those are cataloged faces of people.
Sure.
So, like,
but that was weird.
You know, that's kind of similar. Like, oh, we need to find out what Holly knows. Let's just boop, 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 boop. Let's download Holly into the weird little stone thing.
Right.
And there she be. I don't know.
I do think no matter what, whether we want to or not, I do believe that we are going to come to a time in our future where Maybe won't have a robot milling about with our personalities, but you could probably dial up our personalities, like our great grandchildren could, and talk to us. And maybe they won't be 100% accurate, but you know, these episodes, if they're still, you know, around that people can, you know, access as an archive, social media posts, all that stuff, I guarantee you they can dial us up and say, what was my great-great-grandfather Aaron O'Brien like?
You know? Yeah.
Now, I feel like if there was, I don't know, that would be awesome. Ooh. Just because I'm really into heritage, but would I want my loved ones feeling that it was me? No, not at all. I would not like that at all. Not okay. And I don't think, like David was saying, I don't think Facebook or Instagram are good representations of the person that I am, because, you know, before a lot of your formative years, you know, at least us, we weren't on Facebook when we were 9.
Nope.
13. You know, everything that Facebook knows about our childhood, those are shadows. Those aren't even things that we've said. Those are things that our parents have told us. I wouldn't want my loved ones thinking that it was me. And I don't think that they could do a great job, obviously. And in this episode, Be Right Back, it's clear that it's not an accurate depiction of the person that the AI is mimicking. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I really hope that it doesn't happen. I think if it's some kind of fake catalog where you can, as a living human, you know, catalog certain things and allow your family to view it, like, that's one thing. But have you guys ever seen the movie The Final Cut?
I have not.
Who's in it?
Robin Williams.
Oh, you were telling me about this. It sounds really good.
Yeah, it is really good. It's kind of, I might have seen part of it in the sense that, but basically when you're born, your parents can pay for an implant and it records your life. And then when you die, a cutter takes your whole life and they cut this memoriam together. And that's what everybody knows of you.
I feel like I've seen parts of it. It sounds really familiar.
Right.
There's also a Black Mirror episode that's sort of like that, except it's not about the cut. It's about just the implant.
Right.
Oh, well, you know, that's kind of like if we're talking what you want of your family to know of you, like that implant shows everything you've ever done sexually or immorally, or just like, I went and sat on a park bench for 3 hours every day for 12 years.
No secrets.
You know, and it's just like, I don't know. I think that's just a little too much. And I don't put anything online that I think is private.
Yeah, right.
But you'll never get an AI if you're basing an AI on what you see on social media. You're not going to get the personal stuff that comes with being human.
Exactly. And that's kind of where the episode went. And that's kind of like why last week I was like, it won't be perfect. Even if they did copy a straight copy of our mind into a robot, I still think it wouldn't do it right.
Yeah, but I mean, she was looking for her husband, or I'm assuming they were married. So her husband to come back and be 100% her husband, which was obviously never going to happen. So, I mean, that was kind of her trying to... False expectation, but obviously she's emotionally looking for that at that point.
Right.
If you're just dialing up Grandpa Aaron, that's, you know, because you just want to find out what he was like because you didn't really know him in life. You know, as a document, that's interesting. You know,
it is interesting. Yeah.
But I mean,
I feel like you should be able to volunteer for that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should be able to volunteer, and you should be able to opt in if you want. I wouldn't actually have a problem with that per se. I don't know if I'd necessarily want, like I said, me to be copied and thinking that I'm going to preserve my life longer. I mean,
right
now, I mean, but that's a different story that if you could somehow copy your brain patterns, like your brain waves,
mm-hmm.
so it knows exactly how you think and how you act, has all your little idiosyncrasies and every little thing.
Like an altered carbon.
Yeah.
Or like in the Schizoid Man, which we may or may not do next week.
Right. But I mean, but if you could do that, that's different too, because then, yes, you're not technically moving on. You know, that once you die, but at least those memories and that your personality and your traits and everything are getting passed on pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
If we can get there. I don't even know if we can get there.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's a whole nother subject. I mean, how are you going to upload your, you know, how is right now, I don't see it being possible. Maybe in, you know, 50s, 100 years.
Yeah, storage is going to have to get a lot more abundant and a lot more cheap.
Quantum computing.
quantum computing is just more processing. What we need for, like, brain is, like storing things on crystal or something like that. Because I think crystal can, like, store, like, ridiculous stuff, but it's just hard to write to it right now.
And, yeah, I just said that just to say things. Because this is a podcast.
Yes. Quantum computing.
Anyway, so it's a fun episode. It's a fun exercise to think about. You know, I think if she wasn't, if the Martha character wasn't so, you know, emotionally devastated by the loss of her husband, obviously that wouldn't. This wouldn't be as a heavy episode.
Like if she had like better support, wasn't living like, alone in like the country. House. Yeah, it's, you know, it's like
let me live
so
with
many...
you for a few weeks. No, it's fine. I'll just rip out carpet.
It's just I'll rip out the drapes too.
Yes.
So it's yeah, it's just funny. Like so many things could have prevented this from happening. Sort of like, but she had no support system. And she was just devastated. And it's just, it's interesting. Like, I can't think of too many things that, like, just focus on grief. And this episode is very specifically, like focused on what grief does to somebody. Mm-hmm. And good I mean, there are things in media that do, but I can't think of many off the top of my head.
Well, in Star Trek, we don't see a lot of grief all the time. I mean, once in a while we see it, but not, because it's a...
That's not a Roddenberry emotion, so, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Space and sex. That's Roddenberry's.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was really, really proud about
Austin Powers.
I was really proud about last week's episode. We got one really great to comment on it on the Synthaholics group. It was from Philip, and he said, "Synthaholics, come for the Star Trek, stay for the existential musings." So I hope. I hope you're enjoying more existential musings this week on Synthaholics.
Except you didn't come from Star Trek, now it's Black Mirror. Oh, that's funny though.
Yeah, it's good. I like that he likes our existential musings, that's and hilarious. So this is like an episode full of existential musings, even more so than last week, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting. I mean, there's nothing else you can say. I mean, we kind of touched on the last episode and this episode.
Do you want to do Schizoid Man next week?
Nah, let's move on. I think we're going
to get back to the Trek.
Yeah.
Well, Schizoid Man is Star Trek.
I know, but I just meant that.
Trek your way back to the stars.
My point only being, let's move on to a different subject.
A different subject than this. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I feel you.
Anything else we want to talk about for this?
I think I'm good. Lots of death talk, lots of passing on talk. It's interesting. I really wanted to get Holly's weigh in on it too, since she was available this week. So
yeah.
Thank you, Holly, for joining us.
Joining us from across the country.
Yeah. It's very warm in this room though. Yeah. I gotta have to figure something out about this because like my office is in this room, and then I've got this huge, really deep closet, and I've got a chair, and I've got my mic set up, and I don't know how I'm going to work in there because it's so freaking hot.
Blocks of ice.
Exactly, yeah.
Do they have ice men who just bring the giant block of ice like in the 60s?
Yeah, right.
Or the 20s, probably more like.
The 20s, yeah.
All right, well...
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And I miss you guys, and I haven't even talked to you guys, like, verbally, physically, in
weeks.
I don't know.
It's probably been at least 3 to 4 weeks, right?
Like a month. I was homeless. Well, not homeless, but
I was homeless.
You know, I think my
it cross was like country.
2 months. We were homeless for like 2 months.
Right.
So we were sleeping on people's couches for like 2 months. So I don't think I was on the show in the window that I was still in New York. So I don't know.
So folks, when she says she's homeless, she was living on the street. She just was in between moving. So just so you're like, she's not eating out of dumpsters or anything. So she's all right.
Correct.
She was just in transition because they had to move out of their old place and then they were relocating. So it was a lot of miles to cross.
Yes.
So. Yes. Yes, indeed.
But if you do see Holly homeless on the road, just give her a couple bucks so she can.
That'd be great. Although, if I'm walking around, you know, LA or San Diego, and some random person brings me money, I don't know what I will do.
Yeah, about. You'll be like,
I don't know if I should be insulted or
just tell
grateful.
Her.
I don't know.
Tell you heard her. Sent the holics that you heard. Tell her you heard she was homeless, and just give her some money. If you see Holly walking on the street,
now I'm okay.
That poor girl. She's homeless. I hear she's eating out of dumpsters.
Film dumpsters.
Film dumpsters. Nice. Well, yeah, we are glad that you are not homeless and that you are in a very toasty office.
She's the third part of our Three Stooges.
Yes.
Our Curly's back.
Curly's back. Wait, Curly was the bald guy.
Yeah. So I guess I'll make you Curly since you're the closest.
Yeah, I'm closest. Yeah.
Wait, the shoes I think the irony should be making David Curly since he's got the longest.
I do have.
That would be kind of funny. Yeah.
I do have the longest hair. Yeah,
well, anyways.
Curly was always my favorite, but I just, she made the woo noise.
So she did. Figured, she did very good. Yeah.
So I figured she could be Curly.
Right. All right.
Oh, I was imitating Zoidberg because you guys said eating out of dumpsters.
Oh,
wow. I didn't make that connection.
I heard Three Stooges
in
my head.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're ripping off Three Stooges with Zoidberg.
Zoidberg,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, you can find Synthaholics online. First of all, our music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com and Warp 11 on Twitter. Our intro is provided by Dave Wilkes. You can't find him anywhere.
No. He's secret.
He's
in a bunker.
Keep it secret. Keep it safe.
He's like spinning records and scratching.
So
in a dumpster.
The Synthaholics, you can find us online at Music Dumpster, right next to the film dumpster.
Right, with Jeff Heller. Get out of that dumpster.
There's dumpster players.
There's free donuts down here.
Oh. Well, with Synthaholics, you can find us at Synthaholics.com. You can email us at Synthaholics@yahoo.com. You can join the Facebook conversation at Facebook.com/groups/Synthaholics.
Join us.
Or die.
Or die. And then we'll make you into a robot.
Right.
Just with your Facebook profiles musings.
It's going to be so bad.
If you could please go to Apple iTunes, rate and view us. That'd be wonderful. Give us 5 stars. And give us nice comments. Also, if you have any cash, please go to our Patreon/Synthaholics. $1 a month's not much to ask to help keep the show going, help the equipment, and so we can all sooner or later upload our consciousness up to the cloud.
We can only hope.
Or yes. I can buy ice for my closet.
Ice yes. for a closet. Ice. Yes. We'll have an ice drive. Also,
bring Holly ice. In addition to money, just give her lots of ice.
We'll get like water, ice
baby. That would have been one time I could have said it.
That would have worked,
and I missed it.
Also, a great way to support the show: word of mouth. Absolutely, tell people on Facebook so that you can when your consciousness is uploaded into the cloud that. You will forever echo the word Synthaholics to everybody.
Exactly. And you know, remember, you can come for Star Trek or whatever else we talk about and stay for existential musings. Yes, this absolutely. Is a quote from one of our listeners. So, yes. I mean, don't take it from our mouths. You can look at that comment. It's on our page. It's great.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of speaking things, you can find us on Twitter at Synthaholic Duo for the show. I'm personally at David_J_Duncan. Aaron's at Blackbird 2004, and Holly's at Lunar Thistle.
Yeah. And you can tweet us. And you can email us.
Tweety-lee-lee-lee.
Tweety-lee-lee-lee-lee.
We got all the songs going.
That's titillating.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. Tweetillating.
Tweetillating.
I was going to say you missed an opportunity there, but then you caught it. So.
Yes, he got it.
Don't count me down for the count yet.
I'm sorry.
Oh, your AI is going to be so robust.
You do remember there is a little bit of... You do know there's a little bit of delay between here and California, so...
Your AI is going to not know it's your voice or Michael Caine's.
Michael, it's true. It'll start scanning part of Michael Caine's personality.
It's Michael Caine.
It'll be like David Michael Caine, baby.
Right, yeah, yeah. Great. It'll be awesome.
I can't wait to see my amalgamation. I hope it happens before I die. I want to see.
Just want to know. I want to know what it is.
I want to know what kind of terror it'll be.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully you'll do a whole show.
We'll be best friends.
You just talk to each other.
It'll be my twin.
Oh, I would totally send mine to work constantly.
Yes.
Get to work. Like, sit home fucking off all day.
Absolutely. Well, it's been a long intro, guys. It's been a long outro, guys. Thank you all so much for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all. And watch out for that black mirror.
Nah! Wow, that was good.
If I ever come across the black mirror, I'll let you know.
I know, you'll be like, no, steep away, keep away.
Run away.
Picture, by the way.
Can't wait.
Insanity.
It's the best way it goes.